It's great to see everybody back this Sunday, and how many know every Sunday is a reason to celebrate? Come to church, worship God, celebrate the resurrection of Jesus. So Father's Day is June 19th, and we just got to up it this year, guys. We're going to maybe have a pig roast, maybe rib roast, rib fest, wing fest. So, man, we got to work on this. You know what I'm saying? Mother's Day. But we appreciate the moms. We love you, moms. What else was I going to say? And then last week was awesome. Last week, the church is back, guys. Church is back. And I love hybrid church for those that are just not come here yet and just want to check out our church. Welcome. I know you're watching. I pray that one day you just kind of have enough courage to come, and we promise to make you feel right at home. But 986 people joined us online last week. Can you imagine that? That's awesome. So, you know, the church is back, and we're going to move forward in faith. So if you're here for the first time, we're in week two of the sermon series called Jesus Skeptic. If you missed last week, you can go to our app, you can go to our website, watch it. Because last week I talked about the historical evidence that proves Jesus Christ actually lived. And by the way, if you're just starting your spiritual journey, you're welcome here. If you have questions, if you have doubts, if you're not sure what this is all about, if you like Christ, but not the church, the organization, if you have questions, you know, if you're kicking the tires of faith, you can start your journey here. You don't have to have it all together. You don't have to have it figured out. You don't have to know all the answers. Just journey with us. And my prayer is that as you come week after week, you discover truth. And I know scripture says when you know the truth will set you free. Because there's only one truth. And my prayer is that you find that truth. You continue to search for that truth. My prayer also is that you just don't write off Christianity because you don't know a lot about it. Don't be ignorant when it comes to your faith. Because if you have not wrestled with these questions, you should. You should question the existence of God. You should question the Christianity. You should have questions and wrestle with that. And so let me just encourage you, don't believe that Christianity is not relevant for us today, for you today. Don't just think it's a man-made organism invented by man. It's political and this and that. Because the truth is this. If Jesus never lived, if he never died and rose again, then I need to get a new job. Because last week we talked about that if it never happened, then the preaching is useless. And your faith is useless. So really contemplate that. Secondly, if it is true, you've got a decision to make. Because your eternal destiny depends upon whether you believe Jesus is who he claimed to be. Jesus is what differentiates Christianity and every other religion in the world. It's Christ. It's how they treat Christ. Was he the Son of God? Was he God? Was he the man he claimed to be, or was he a fake, phony, and a liar? Well, last week we discovered that all of the evidence proves that, yeah, he did exist, and eyewitnesses saw the fact that he rose again. So let me just encourage, this series comes from the book Jesus Skeptic, written by John Dickerson, award-winning journalist, secular journalist, who came to faith in investigating the claims of Christ. And this is what he wrote: when it comes to Christianity, my 10-year investigation has convinced me. Did you see that 10-year investigation? Okay, guys? When it comes to Christianity, my 10-year investigation has convinced me that my generation of Americans, millennials, born in the 80s and 90s, has been largely denied the truth about Christianity's influence and record on social justice. We've been told the negative moments in Christian history, and we've been told the positive moments from the other world belief systems. But we've not been exposed to the whole truth of the Christian record. so that we can decide for ourselves whether Jesus' teachings and movement would be helpful to our personal lives and to the positive society we want to build. That was his input. That was his discovery. So today, last week, look at ancient evidence. This week, we're going to look at a topic that's very uncomfortable for me because I don't have a lot of knowledge in this area. So this right here, I've been preaching 25 years. This right here is by far one of the most challenging messages that I've ever preached. That's because today we're going to talk about Jesus' faith in science. The reason why is I didn't do great in science. How about you? Anybody love earth science? Like nobody. Maybe three people, and they're embarrassed to say they like science. Just teasing. So we're going to go to science class. This sermon is going to be different than any other sermon I've preached. I need notes today. Bear with me now, okay? Give me some grace if I say the wrong terms or I pronounce it the wrong way. My prayer, though, is by the end of the sermon, you have discovered some more evidence regarding Christianity, Christ, and his impact in the world. Y'all with me? Let's begin by looking at this image. Let's take a moment. Let's look at it. On the left, you probably would have guessed it's a stained glass at Westminster Cathedral. Okay, historic glass. It's called the rose glass, I think it's called. Okay, let me get my notes here. The rose window. And on the right, any guesses? It's the picture of a DNA molecule. Okay, a DNA molecule. It's the cross-section of a DNA molecule. Or, here we go, deoxyribonucleic acid. Come on, somebody. Don't play with me today. I'll go deoxyribonucleic on you. That little molecule carries your genetic code. The DNA is the body's recipe book. It holds the instructions for making all proteins in the human body. Now, this is a unique view because it's not from the side. It's looking down on the long axis. So you see the beautiful radial pattern. But the reason why these images are up, it's because I wanted you to kind of look at both images, because both images kind of speak of two worldviews, science and faith. The rose window, faith, and the DNA, science. But these two images raise a compelling question. Are faith and science more compatible than we think? Or do we have to make decisions on choosing faith or science? There is a scientific worldview, there's a spiritual worldview, and the question is, does a thinking person have to choose? Is it like a binary choice if you're a thoughtful person, a person with intellectual integrity? Do you have to throw in your lot with your faith or with science, or can you embrace both of them together? I had this challenge, and I remember I was first introduced to this challenge in sixth grade. I was attending junior high school in the city, and I was in science class in middle school, and I can remember the teacher talking about bumblebees. And I remember she was teaching on bumblebees, and I was so excited because I remembered in my Sunday school class, my Sunday school teacher taught us that there is no explanation how bumblebees fly with those small wings. According to all of the laws of aviation, bumblebees should not fly because their bodies are too fat and their wings are too small. And it's true to this day. People According to the laws of aviation, it's impossible. No one can explain how bees fly. And I remember raising my hand and telling her, teacher, did you know that bumblebees can't fly with their wings? Do you know that the reason they fly is because of God? I'll never forget that. I knew where I was sitting. I remember looking at her, but I also remember the expression of shock, and quickly disregarded my question and continued to talk about science. She obviously did not see that faith and science were compatible, but that's okay because that's where a lot of skeptics are today. In fact, just assume that faith and science are somehow, people assume that somehow they're at war with one another and no one can reconcile the two. But if you examine the evidence, here we go, you will find that devout followers of Jesus Christ have played a leading role in the scientific revolution, which in turn unleashed an avalanche of innovation in our modern world. Y'all with me so far? Are you falling asleep? Okay, so yes, I heard a yes. I know you aren't. I know you're just teasing. So let's just start by kind of diving into the scientific revolution. Y'all ready? Here we go. Scientific revolution started in 1543 to 1687. During this time period, there was an avalanche of discoveries in mathematics, physics, astronomy, biology, chemistry that transformed society's understanding of nature. It led to an explosion of life-changing discoveries like calculus, telescopes, electricity, chemistry. It paved the way for modern medicine, for germ theory, and all the stuff that we take for granted today. Now, what's quite interesting about this scientific revolution, there was a revival that happened and preceded the scientific revolution called the Protestant Reformation. The Protestant Reformation was kicked off in 1517 and was led by Martin Luther. Martin Luther, Martin Luther King, was named after Martin Luther. Martin Luther was a reformist, and he just became disgusted with the corruption in the Catholic Church. There was only one church. There wasn't Baptist, there wasn't Charismatic, there wasn't Methodist. There was just the Catholic Church. The Catholic Church was taking advantage of people. They were taking advantage of them and teaching them that the only way they can get into heaven is through good works. And they had to pay alms or pay different amounts of money. And there was a lot of corruption. And Martin Luther, he discovered that you are saved by grace through faith. So he taught that salvation and consequently eternal life are not earned by good deeds, but are received only as a free gift of God's grace through the believer's faith in Jesus Christ as Redeemer for sin. So he led the charge which birthed the Protestant movement. The root word is protest. They protested and reformed the Catholic Church. So now the Protestant Protestant movement is birthed from this time period. But let me tell you what the Protestant Reformation also caused. The Protestant Reformation also caused illumination. Because now devout followers of Jesus could read the scriptures on their own. Now followers of Jesus didn't need a priest to read them the scriptures. Didn't need the control and power of a pastor or a priest to dictate to them what they should believe. They broke away and began to study the scriptures on their own. They began to create universities and colleges, and they began to be illuminated by truth. Okay, this is what Luther was leading. And it reminds me of the scripture in John chapter 8, in which Jesus said, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." prior to this period of time, there's nothing but darkness. There's no electricity. There's no great innovations. People during this particular period of time believed that there was intellectual darkness. This is the moment when people thought the earth was flat. And when people thought sickness was caused by evil spirits, not germs, there was no heat, no electricity. It was nothing but darkness. And suddenly, it was as if the light bulb went on. And the Protestant Reformation was birthed and brought illumination. And in this same region, you have some of the great leaders of science kick off the scientific revolution. Are y'all still with me? Science class, y'all still with me? Yes. All right, here we go. So who were these leaders? Who were these scientists? You have three major scientists. Isaac Newton. How many heard of Isaac Newton? Johannes Kepler. And Blaise Pascal. Okay, those three, okay, who led the scientific revolution in the same region as the Protestant Reformation. Now, listen, these three individuals had something in common. They were all devout followers of Christ. They were devoted to the Word of God. And let's begin with Isaac Newton. Isaac Newton right here, he's the one that discovered gravity. I don't know if you remember him sitting under the tree and the apple fell on his head. But he didn't just discover gravity. He defined laws of motion in which all of science is based on laws of motion. Okay? Newton is the most influential scientist in human history. He was a physicist. He was an astronomer. He was an inventor. He was a mathematician. Actually, Albert Einstein had his picture in his office as an inspiration. Think about Albert Einstein, one of the greatest brainiacs in the world, looked up to this guy right here, okay? He also invented calculus, and all of the high school students say, boo, you can blame that guy, right? You can blame him. So he published discoveries in a three-book collection called Principia. And what's striking is that if you read it, Newton viewed his scientific discoveries through the lens of faith in God, specifically Jesus Christ. This is what he wrote, okay? Again, you don't have to take my word. You can look this up. It's Google it, okay? Isaac Newton, this most beautiful system of the sun, planets and comets could only proceed from the counsel and dominion of an intelligent and powerful being. This being governs all things, not as the soul of the world, but as the Lord over all. And on account of his dominion, he is wont to be called Lord God. In other words, Newton inferred the existence of God from the solar system, and a discovery in science actually led him to greater conviction and passion for Christ. His discovery for science actually led him to have greater passion for Jesus. When you look at Newton's notes, there are Newton's notes, okay? You will see and you will read. This is a page from his notes. Listen to this. He wrote more about Jesus than he did science and mathematics. They won't tell you that in science class. But they'll tell you that in church. Okay? One of the lines he wrote in his journal is what he wrote. He wrote, "This is life, that they may know the only true God in Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent." He was quoting John 17:3. Another line in his journal, you'll write, "Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever." He's quoting Hebrews 13:8, church. Newton believed in his heart that Jesus Christ was the Son of God, that he died and that he rose again, and that he promised to return and repair the human condition. Now, Newton was a generational genius, and what he would do is he would study the Bible over and over again. the original Bible. He studied the Bible in Hebrew and Greek and Latin and Syriac and ancient tongues. He would even take physical measurements from the Old Testament temples and he'd apply them to the universe. And here's another, there's the other quote. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. You don't have to ask the experts what Newton believed about Jesus. You can just read it with your own eyes. He believed this great generational mind. The same is true with Johannes Kepler. He's the primary inventor and defined the laws of planetary motion, how the Earth actually orbits around the sun, not the other way around, and how the moon goes around the Earth, and so on and so forth. He's the founder of modern astronomy. Right now, we look at Elon Musk going to the moon, like, wow, you know, he's going to go to the moon. Or we look at Jeff Bezos blasting off. That doesn't happen without Johannes Kepler. Here's a picture of the Kepler telescope. Check that out. Insane. It's the first telescope. So NASA named their modern telescope after the Kepler telescope. Okay? How many of you wear eyeglasses? Well, you can thank Kepler, who invented eyeglasses and the pinhole camera. I want you to understand something. Without the illumination of Jesus being the light of the world and Jesus illuminating the minds of these great inventors, all of us would be walking around like this today that wear glasses. Think about what people did for thousands of years. They squinted all throughout their lives. But he created the eyeglasses in bringing life and illuminating people's lives through their sight. Kepler continued to be a devout follower of Jesus as he made these world-changing discoveries. And he wrote a famous book about astronomy called Mysterium Cosmographicum. Y'all heard of that, right? No? I just read that a couple months ago. Just kidding. All right, just kidding. It translates cosmic mystery. And Kepler wrote these words. Y'all still with me? He wrote these words. Before the universe was created, there were no numbers except the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, which is God himself. For the line and the plane imply no numbers. Here, infinitude itself reigns. Let us consider, therefore, the solids. I wanted to become a theologian. For a long time, I was restless. Now, however, behold how through my effort, God is being celebrated in astronomy. God is being celebrated in astronomy. Can I encourage those who work in the sciences, who work in the medical field, who work in the healthcare industry, who work in pharmacology? Maybe you're a college student in biology, maybe in chemistry, maybe in physics, maybe you're a teacher. Listen, he saw his calling as a scientist. He saw his calling is to illuminate the world through his science. He saw himself as being light and darkness. He said, one illuminates the other. All inventions, think about it, it's telescopes, eyeglasses, lenses literally bring light to millions of people. Kepler didn't believe in separation of science and faith. He actually said his faith and illuminated the science. And actually, God is celebrated in astronomy. So you can't take God out of the one who created it. You can separate it in your analysis, but ultimately, all science points to the Creator. Just think about this for a moment. The light that you now see by in the modern world exists because of the scientific discoveries made by followers of Jesus, like Kepler and Newton, these great inventors, these great scientists. How about, you ever wondered what inspired some of the greatest breakthroughs in human existence, like decoding DNA, developing medicine, electricity? How about your cell phone that's right in your pocket? How about the ability to bring church online, a screen powered by a microprocessor, a supercomputer? Think about this type of technology, but that doesn't happen without Blaise Pascal. okay? Pascal is a world-famous mathematician, physicist, inventor, and his influence in science and math is so great that you guys, that certain programming languages are called Pascal after his discoveries. He is the one that created the first ever mechanical calculator circa 1642. He made it by hand. This predates every other machine that claims to be the first of its kind by 100 years. Look at the first calculator. He created by hand. Now remember, he created this in a world where there is no washer, there is no dryer, there is no antibiotics, there is no electricity, there is no heat. People are still chopping firewood in their homes. But yet this guy, through an illuminated mind, because of his faith in Christ, creates the first computation machine. These were all numbers, and you align up the numbers, and they eventually computed on the top, the little numbers on the top. Pretty insane, isn't it? Now, Pascal, one of the greatest minds, the one who's responsible, the one who laid the foundation for modern computers today, this is what he wrote in a poem that he sewed to the inside of his pocket. Okay? This is Pascal writing. That's his journal. And this poem is what he sewed. Okay? He wrote, God of Abraham, God of Isaac, God of Jacob, not of the philosophers and of the learned, God of Jesus Christ, my God and your God. Forgetfulness of the world and of everything except God. He is only found by the ways taught in the gospel. Grandeur of the human soul, righteous Father, the world has not known you, but I have known you. Joy, 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 tears of joy. This is eternal life, that they may know you, the one true God, and the one that you have sent, Jesus Christ, Jesus Christ, Jesus Christ. I left him, I fled him, renounced him, crucified. Let me never be separated from him. Yeah, think about that. I'm telling you, these scientists were on fire for Jesus. They were set on fire for God. They were inspired by God. They're the founding fathers of the scientific revolution. You will see their entire way of viewing the world and the universe. They saw it through the lens of their faith. And they were convinced because they believed in Christ. They believed in God, that God created the universe, who runs it with order, predictability, and their passionate faith was the inspiration for unlocking the secrets of science, things no other human being had ever done in human history. The reality is this, church. If you remove Christian influence from world history, you and I will be still sitting in the dark ages. If you remove every Christian inventor, every person inspired by God, we will be sitting in darkness. People like Thomas Edison and Albert Einstein, who built upon their science, would not have invented. See, if you have heat in your house, you can thank Kepler. If you get sick and go to a doctor, you can thank these individuals. Hospitals. Lights, air conditioning, cell phones. Just ponder that again for a moment. Think about life without light, heat, glasses, medicine. That was all birthed through the scientific revolution. You see, let me skip this verse really quick. 98% of the founders of the scientific revolution were committed followers of Jesus. 2% were non-Christian. I wish they would teach you this in science class. Because the truth is, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. When you have that light, you will not walk in darkness any longer. Jesus was not illuminating just your spiritual life. He wanted to illuminate your entire life, your world around you. And these great scientific revolutionists, if we go back, they believed that it was their job, their calling, to bring light to the world through their discoveries. And I just want to encourage all of you today, regardless of where you serve or where you work, your call to bring light to the world. In the same way, Jesus said, let your light shine before others that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. That your good deeds may glorify God. That if you're a nurse and you take care of the sick, that those good deeds glorify God. If you're an inventor, that your invention glorifies God. If you're a homemaker, that your good deeds glorify God. That everything we do in this world glorifies God. That was their understanding. That's what they were driven by, their passion to glorify God through the great innovations that they had discovered in their life. When you look at history, specifically the scientific revolution and the Protestant Reformation, Christ followers were at the forefront of illuminating the world with discoveries, breakthrough medical advances. I want you to listen. You might be missing a big point, the big E on the eye chart. Guys, the innovations, the breakthroughs of the scientific revolution were pioneered by devout Christians who saw their good deeds as glorifying God. I want to jump to the rose window one more time, and the DNA molecule. Could they be more compatible than we think? I want to bring to you one more person, a geneticist named Dr. Francis Collins, okay? That DNA molecule picture you just saw was provided by this man. He's the director of National Institutes of Health. Dr. Collins is one of the leading scientists in the world today. However, he started off as a Jesus skeptic. He started off as a professed atheist. He started questioning his atheism in medical school, because he met patients who clung firmly to their Christian faith while going through the deepest and darkest terminal illnesses of their life. He didn't quite understand how they could face death with such hope and peace, which prompted him to research the historical evidence for Christ. So he started reading the writings of an Oxford scholar named C.S. Lewis. I wonder if how many heard of C.S. Lewis, right? And after reading C.S. Lewis, Mere Christianity, at the age of 27, Dr. Collins put his faith in Jesus Christ. And he describes it this way. This is what he describes it as. A search to learn more about God's character led me to the person of Jesus Christ. He was a person with remarkably strong historical evidence of his life, who made astounding statements about loving your neighbor, and whose claims about being God's son seemed to demand a decision about whether he was deluded or the real thing. After resisting for nearly 2 years, I found it impossible to go on living in such a state of uncertainty, and I became a follower of Jesus. He wrote in one of his books, I have come to see DNA, the information molecule of all living things, as God's language, and the elegance and complexity of our own bodies, the rest of nature as a reflection of God's plan. I have found there was a wonderful harmony in the complementary truths of science and faith. The God of the Bible is also the God of the genome. God can be found in the cathedral or in the laboratory. By investigating God's majestic and awesome creation, science can actually be a means of worship. Worship. I just want you to imagine this sermon as just being a little appetizer to get you inspired to dig deeper into the claims of Christ, the impact of Christianity, and how faith and science might be more compatible than you can imagine. But there's one more example I want to give to you. And I want to kind of show you a cell adhesion protein molecule. If none of this has you convinced, and I don't expect you to be fully convinced after a sermon, I just want you to think. I just want you to go beyond what you hear, what you've been taught, and examine truth. Here, the cell adhesion protein molecule is called laminin. Laminin is a cell which organizes in certain molecular structures, and it determines what protein they are. There are tens of thousands of proteins in the human body. One of them is this cell adhesion protein, which keeps your body together. Without laminin, you will be a pile of stuff. Okay? But this one protein molecule, the cell adhesion molecule, is holding you together. And because of modern technology, we are able to get a picture of what laminin looks like. Let me introduce you to laminin. It's laminin. It's laminin. It's what's holding you together. This is what it really looks like. Alive, moving. And when I saw this, I was reminded of Colossians 1. It's Colossians, not Matthew. Colossians 1, 16, it says, "For in Christ all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities. All things have been created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together." Laminin, the cross. It's Christ who's knit you, who's created you, who's formed you. Before you were in your father's womb, God knew you. He set you apart. He loves you. He has a plan for you. He's holding you together. This man called Jesus has impacted the world more than you can ever imagine. It's not just religion. It's in medicine. It's through hospitals, through universities. Universities like Princeton and Harvard and Yale and Brown, they were all started by men and women of God who wanted to train ministers of the gospel. Look at the history of Harvard University, now one of the most liberal colleges in the world. Think of the history of it. If you go into right now, Google it. You will see that this college was started by men who are on fire for God, by people who are on fire for God. What about the hospitals? The reason why we have the healthcare system today is because of followers of Jesus who are inspired by the teachings of Jesus, who wanted to bring light to a world full of darkness and founded these healthcare institutions, these hospitals. Their roots are all in Christ. And I know some of you struggle with your faith, you struggle to believe, but I want you to remember this every time you write your birthday. For me, it's October 18th. 1971. Every time I write my name down, I'm reminded that 2,000 years ago, something happened that changed the course of history, that altered the calendar. You may not believe in God, but every time you write your birth date, you do. True. I'm not here to tell you what to believe. I'm not here to force religion down your throat. I'm here to tell you to examine the evidence. And if the evidence is true, you have a decision to make. What are you going to do with this man called Jesus? Let's bow our head in prayer.